Hey guys, the word of the day is giant. Hello and welcome to the WIP, the What If podcast that's a work in progress. I am your host, the Equilateral, the Slim James. We are the only podcast that dares to ask, what if the next Batman movie was a Creedence Clearwater Revival-based musical? Well, I guess it'd be called Bat Moon Rising. Hello. Just in case you're wondering what you stumbled upon, well, just here's a reminder. We review Marvel's series of What If comics in a roundabout roundup, i.e. non-sequentially, and use the grouping of comics that I choose worthy for this week as sort of an opportunity to springboard into other comic book discussions. Just a reminder, we're partnering with a new site, GiantSizeComicThings.com, and of course you can get other updates and pretty much art by me on TheSlimJames.com. On Twitter, at the Slim James, or at giant_size. Now, here on the WIP, we usually kick around dusty old back issues of What Ifs that are decades old. You know, they started in the 70s and went up, restarted in the 80s, and went through the mid-90s. And it's often old and maybe a little out of date, but it's nice to see a window into the past. Well, recently, Marvel's been putting out What Ifs as sort of a cluster, like 5, 6 or whatever at a time, pretty much a set per year. They've done some sort of one-offs that are not related to anything, just sort of fanciful ideas. And last year they did a Avengers vs. X-Men miniseries where they took the massive crossover du jour, AVX, and did a 4-issue miniseries. What if the events in that transpired differently? There's, I think, a couple of variations here and there. But they stretched it out as one four-piece, or as one story spread over 4 issues. Well, this year, our new What If offerings are based on the crossover event, the Age of Ultron. So the Age of Ultron is apparently a very convoluted double alternate reality tale where in this alternate Earth, Ultron took over the Earth, so they go back in time and Wolverine kills Hank Pym and he becomes a second alternate Earth where Morgan Le Fay, for some reason, has taken over the world. So we get this dueling alternate universes. This is basically the cliff notes. I tried to read the summary online and I couldn't. Oh my god, there's a lot of stuff going on there. They do this, and then they do that, and oh my god, time travel, and robot Tony Stark, or was he regular Tony Stark? And he's like, time is a living organism. You can't stretch it too much. Well, what organism can you stretch? But I digress. So the Age of Ultron lends itself to the new Avengers movie coming up. But oh my god, this is such a wacky alternate universe tale ensconced in the history of Avengers and everything, that there's no way, I don't think any part of this will be touching that movie. It's just a snappy name, especially if they're going to have Ultron as the main villain. And so they probably released this What If sort of as a go-between, an in-between, so that, you know, you got to keep the name out there. Because if there's one thing Marvel's movies needs, it's a brand awareness. Because, like, you never know when they have something coming up, except if you watch their weekly show or their seemingly monthly movies, you know, hey, guess what? More. How do you like me? Actually, speaking of their weekly shows, I didn't get a chance to watch S.H.I.E.L.D. this week. Well, I caught the second half, but I didn't see any of Deathlok, except for, like, the 1 5-second clip that they showed in the ad where he's, like, landing with authority. I assume he fought people. I also see that his jumpsuit is just like a black running suit with some stuff on the back. He sort of looks like he's playing laser tag. Like, I'm not saying, you know, it has to look like the comics, but give me, like, some of the color red. That'd be cool. But I digress. I'm so clueless about the Age of Ultron crossover because, A, it's super convoluted, and B, I don't really keep up with new comics that much. I mean, obviously, I read the websites. I see what's going on out there. See what's happening with all my latest, you know, see all the latest happenings with my favorite heroes, like Spider-Man, with the Superior Spider-Man, and all that razzmatazz. Actually, speaking of new comic books, I am looking to get the Amazing Spider-Man #1 when that comes out, the Marcos Martin variant with the blue and the green and the orange and the him, and he's doing the thing. Yeah, that one. But man, the pre-sale online was like $50, and you want to talk about a way to just make money evaporate. Buy some sort of variant like before it comes out, because you know it's just gonna be worth so much more after. I mean, I can't predict the future, but I sincerely doubt that this issue will hold the $50 price tag over the next few years. It's probably just gonna, if anything, it'd be like 20. No, I would pay tens of dollars for that comic book, but not five tens, maybe two tens. But like I was saying, I don't get a lot of new comic books. But it's the What If podcast. So clearly, when the man behind GiantSizeComicThings.com, my boy Turner, told me about the April offerings or whatever, solicitations, that they were gonna have five new What Ifs based on the Age of Ultron. I'm like, new What Ifs? Oh my God! What's the Age of Ultron? Doesn't matter. I need to have these comic books. So it was released yesterday. This is hot and fresh out the kitchen. This is basically live to tape compared to the other decades-old comic books I review. So yesterday I wanted to get this comic book like today, because this doesn't come along. It comes along what, once a year maybe? Because I remember I went in and got the What If AVX week after week, sort of going in like, do they have it? And then I went back the next day and if they didn't have it. So I ran into an issue yesterday getting this new comic book. Probably more cause because I was freaking out because I just wanted it now. I couldn't go directly after work to any of the ones I wanted to because they're farther away, sort of in the city, compared to where I live. We already had plans to do trivia, and I didn't want to drag my girlfriend all around to go get a comic book first, considering, trying to find a place to park in the city, etc., etc. So I'm like, there's a comic book down the street from where I work, right on Main Street. I don't go in there often, but I'm gonna go. Today's the day. I'm gonna go, I'm gonna get the comic book during my lunch break. It's gonna be fine. Go in there. I'm looking at the comic book. I'm looking. I can see it. And the clerk puts his foot in front of it and says, "No, you can't. I'm not done counting it out yet," or something. Now I'm trying to give this guy money. I swear. I'm not holding out. I don't want it for free. I'm buying it. And instead of offering me any sort of in between, now I couldn't come back after work, but if he'd even offered that, I would have been, a little more understanding. But he just said no and started mumbling about blaming his UPS guy for not getting there soon enough. And I was a little miffed because I was like, I want it. And, I may have grumbled under my breath a little too much considering he wasn't actually doing anything wrong, although I think his bedside manner could have been a little more accommodating. Because I saw the antithesis of that. In my next journey into getting this What If Age of Ultron number one. So I called up another store that's sort of by the highway so that I could grab it right before I head back home to work. It's a little farther away, but it worked out because it's not too far off the beaten path. So I call it, and I call the store, and like, do you sell the new releases? Because this is like a video game store, but they also sell comic books. And I just want to make sure that, they're not like a day or a week or whatever behind. Like, do you have the stuff released today? And he said, yes. And I said, what if Age of Ultron? He's like, let me check if we have any left. And I'm like, are you serious? How hot can this issue be? It's I'm Mr. What Ifs. I'm the one who has all 200 plus. How is it everybody else is like coming after this? And he said he only had one left. But in contrast to what the guy at the first place did, where he just said no and didn't bother to offer me any sort of solution, this guy offered to hold it for me without me asking. He was like, "Do you want me to hold it for you?" To which I replied, "Fuck yes." So he held the issue, and I went there after, and I got it. It was quite the harrowing journey considering it took me across like three towns. I had to go home a different way from work, but ultimately it all worked out because I have holding in my hands What If Age of Ultron number one. The premise of these What Ifs is instead of Hank Pym being killed in the events of Age of Ultron, what if it was a different Avenger that had been killed? And this one indicates that it was the Wasp this time who had been wiped from the timeline. I'll say about the cover, it's okay. It's a little bland. I mean, you know, there's Wasp, there's Ultron. That's what we're talking about. I will say this: it does have a background, which is nice from some of the plain white ones of the 70s we reviewed before. You know, they probably led with their least interesting a character to wipe out, because let's face it, there's a Wasp is a true team player, and by that I mean she can't be in her own. There's never been a Wasp solo series, for good reason. Some of the books I've reviewed on this podcast, they've referred to her as an airhead heiress. Try to say that 3 times fast. The most interesting thing about her is the variety of costumes she wears. So we open with a recap of some of the events happening in Age of Ultron, I presume. Tony Stark talking about time, and you just don't go back and fix what you need to. You don't use time travel to do that because, you know, butterfly effect, paradoxes, time, it's a living organism. After that first recap to sort of introduce us to the events of Age of Ultron, we kick off with the first page, and it shows Janet Van Dyne talking to Hank Pym, who's in his lab coat and giant man outfit with pointy boots and gloves. No superfluous antenna, though. He doesn't have the cowl on. But she goes, blah, and dies, because I assume somebody has time traveled and wiped her out. And to wit, to what I said before, the thing that flashes in Janet's mind as she's dying is all of the costumes she's worn. There it is. That's some character depth. So we flash forward 25 years later, and a giant man is standing outside of a giant hole. Hank Pym is walking around in his giant man garb, and he's narrating this story through letters to his long-lost Janet. And he notes that it's been 9,000 days since he's seen a human face. And we see a flashback to Ultron killing the Avengers, and he cruelly leaves Hank, who's dressed as Yellowjacket this time. He cruelly leaves him alive to sort of fester and see the chaos and destruction around him. Quickly after that, Ultron becomes an Ultron-making machine, and the world as we know it is destroyed in order to give rise to the machines. It's like Terminator, but with Ultrons. Also like Terminator, motorcycles. Hank drives a motorcycle into the giant hole, and he sees an Ultron video game boss-looking thing, where it's like a robot head with a caterpillar, and he giant sizes out and defeats it. And narrates to us that sort of the fight is the only reason he keeps going. Because, you know, if he's literally the last man alive and it's just robots and barren waste around, then why? Well, he's to keep fighting because he's, you know, a superhero. So Hank also expositions to us about the hole itself. It was dug by Russians in this post-apocalyptic universe that has taken like 30 years or whatever. And he says that this hole, this giant hole into the center of the Earth, that's where Ultron Central Code, as he calls it, is located. Ultron Prime. So, you know, in caterwauling about around the giant hole, he's overcome by swarms of Ultrons, and he gets pulled into the pit. And we see the ultra super duper giant size, even gianter than Giant Man gianted. He's Ultron Prime. And he's doing his giant malevolent thing. Ultron taunts Hank about, you know, oh, you're just doing this to make yourself feel better? And Hank replies, I'm not here for redemption. I'm not here to shift the blame. In the end, I'm just here to break you. So he is Bane, apparently. But in the end, Giant Man succumbs to the throngs of Ultrons around him. And in a shocking twist, spoiler alert, this is a new issue, so this is legitimate spoilers alerts. We learn that Hank Pym is actually an Ultron robot himself, designed as a sick game for Ultron Prime to hunt over and over again. Which actually sort of brings up a good question. Is if once Ultron, you know, conquers the Earth and it's nothing but robots, what then? They just sort of walk around? Do stuff? Well, this is what he does. He builds himself a Hank Pym robot, sets the robot off into some far-flung place on Earth with, you know, his memory wiped clean of the events of, you know, hunting him down in the first place, or that he's a robot. He sends him back out there so that Giant Man can track Ultron back down, and they can just repeat this battle ad infinitum because, you know, Ultron's bored. He's conquered the Earth, and it's nothing but his own visage looking back at him. It sort of brings up a good question about people who, like, you know, supervillains who want world conquest. Then what? Then you have, like, you know, 6, 9, however many billions of people to look after, and it's just gonna go back into chaos again. Like, what, you think you're the one, Dr. Doom? You're gonna teach everyone to get along and rule with an iron fist? Or whatever your metal, whatever your armor's made of, fist? You know, there's definitely some flaws in the logic of a would-be world conqueror. Overall, I'd say this story isn't bad. In fact, I like it. It's a nice, moody, post-apocalyptic piece. And the twist ending is nice, and I didn't see it coming. Now, my thoughts were that we'd see maybe, like, Giant Man defeated, and, you know, Pym dies, and then Ultron realizes he has nothing left after the one bane of his existence dies. And so maybe he shuts off and, like, we just close on this world of darkness and nothing's left. But this ending works, too. In fact, it probably works better. Because it's a nice little sci-fi sort of Twilight Zone looking thing where he's like, ah! And he starts then crying out in binary, 10100110112. The art is perfectly fine. And I like that Hank Pym is tooling around in his Silver Age Giant Man costume, because that's like one of my favorite costumes, because it's so goofy looking. He's got silly little antenna poking out and pointy gloves. No, as it's the rarest of rare new What If month, I can't wait to see what they do next week. Whomever is missing, I think, you know, Thor, Captain America, Iron Man, somebody else I can't think of. We'll all see what the universe is like without them, as at least as it relates in this Ultron-centric universe. Although this is weird because it's an alternate universe off of an alternate universe, but not the other alternate universe that was off the alternate universe. And we get this sort of weird circular logic thing where it doesn't stop. Hey, just a reminder, we'll be doing all of the Age of Ultrons fairly quickly after they come out. They're released on Wednesday, so I'll probably try to have something up by Saturday. So stay tuned for more hot and fresh What If actions all this month. So in closing, I will remind you to follow us on Twitter at TheSlimJames or at Giant_Size, TheSlimJames.com, GiantSizeComicThings.com. The WIP What If Podcast is on iTunes, on Stitcher, on YouTube, and on Vimeo. So go out there and find us. And remember, don't spend the rest of your life asking, what if?